working within our capacities rather than against them. This experience with the Grain CSA summed up my observations shared earlier. It made it clear that the idealism of the local food movement was plateauing for a reason. Beyond the dedicated food reclamationists, the rest of us were simply not ready for the full-scale population-wide transition necessary for a more hands-on and engaged food system, one that relies on an increased investment of time by eaters. I have observed this among many local food initiatives of all types, sizes, and locations. None of this should come as a surprise. No matter what our individual engagement with the source of our food looks like, when it comes to considering adjustments to our routine, even if they do bring us into greater alignment with our values, I'm sure we can all relate to the delicate nature of this readiness, of this capacity to change. Our engagement with food doesn't, after all, operate in isolation from North America's 9-to-5 work culture and its average incomes. Our relationship to food and the time we have available for it also can't avoid being restrained by the cost of living, the design of our cities, and the demands of raising a family. All of this, too, has a direct influence on our ability to step outside of the convenience that is the grocery store. The need for convenience is summed up in the news that came out in 2010. Restaurant sales in the United States had overtaken grocery sales for the first time in history. Communicating this hunger for convenience even more strongly has been the explosion of meal delivery services in every urban center across the country. There is a fast-moving convenience train hurtling down the tracks, and I've come to believe that the future of strong local food economies depends on two modes of action. One, getting the hell off the train and designing a whole new transportation paradigm, the direct sales approach, the meet your farmer, grow your own approach. And two, becoming a fully committed, we're all in this together passenger. I think we need both. This book is about the second mode of action, using it to better prepare ourselves for the first. It's about plotting out our transition, rather than the transition being a reaction to all that we believe to be wrong. It's about meeting the system where it's at, meeting people where they're at, and in doing so, having a far greater impact. As I've come to see it, the wall being hit up against that seems to accompany many local food initiatives is this wall, the constraints of a society that are simply too complex and ingrained to be changed in short order. A society that is racing towards a culture of convenience as quickly as an emoji can be used to describe the events of the day. Stepping outside of this culture in any magnitude more than just supplementation will not be possible nor interesting anytime soon to more than a dedicated contingent. There is, thank goodness, a way for all of us eaters and lovers of good food to work within and outside of the system at the same time, the grocery store. Placing the bulk of our attention on the grocery store as the tool for systemic and cultural change is inviting all eaters to become passengers on the same train. The numbers speak for themselves. Since 1990, the share of total at-home food expenditures directed to farmers and processors through the direct-to-market model, farmers markets, farm stands, CSAs, remained steady at 5.9%. The share of at-home food expenditures directed to retailers, 91.6%. There is little question where to assign our local and good food aspirations. It's time we place our food movement eggs into the grocery store basket. It's time for a supermarket shakedown.